It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. Hello. We are looking at the films that are in the cinema and on DVD this week that might be worth your time and your money. And to guide us through the movie menagerie this week is our film critic and broadcaster and author, Mark Searby. Hello to you.
Hello.
Let's look at the films out this week. Ridley Scott is back. The Alien franchise rumbling on. We touched on this last week. You were trying to explain the chronology of these Alien films. This is the second prequel in the franchise, I think. Basically, they're ripping off Star Wars by going back to before the first one.
Yeah, that's kind of true, yeah. And before you ask me, Geoff, yes, you do need to see every single Alien film to see Alien Covenant, I'm afraid.
Okay, so is it worth seeing this new one? I've seen a few mixed reviews of this.
I mean, after the insipid dullness of Prometheus, it is hugely pleasing to say that the Alien franchise is back to its epic, gory glory of the first two movies. This is about the crew of a colony ship bound for a remote planet who discover an uncharted paradise with a threat beyond their imagination and must attempt to harrow it and escape. The crew of the ship are basically a ragtag bunch, much like most of the other films, to be honest. We get to know most of them, and with a few, you do really care about them. The great thing about the film is that it neatly balances a friendship survival drama with a full-on, unrelenting horror film. The first half of the film has a calmness to it, an almost clinical stillness. I was watching it, and it evoked thoughts of some of the styles used in 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's the second half of the film that lets rip and throws you all over the place. Once the aliens appear, it is an unrelenting assault of action and strong body horror. Watching it, I honestly had no idea what was going to happen next. And for all intents and purposes, it's a survival, not just on screen, but watching it as well. There's a couple of times where I was forced back into my seat because of how in your face with everything it is. What's interesting about the second half of the film is that it expands on the synthetics storyline that's run through every single film. So here is a new synthetic, or AI, if you will, called Walter. However, this is a much more than who I am, where did I come from storyline. It's moved on, and the synthetic is actually understanding its reason for living, which we very rarely see in a sci-fi movie. And I think it's a bold move and it works brilliantly. Also, I've got to mention Catherine Waterston, who is sensational in this film. And she gets this phenomenal Ripley-esque fight right at the end with an alien. It is a thought-provoking, intelligent and very scary film that I think returns the franchise back to its roots. It's kind of like the Apocalypse Now of alien films.
Are we starting to see a subgenre of films that you survive in the cinema? We've talked about this before with films like The Revenant, and you mentioned again, yeah, a survival film, but surviving whilst watching it as well.
Yeah, I think we probably are, but this is the whole immersive experience of cinema. You don't just go there to see this type of film. You go there because you want to feel like you're in there and fighting the aliens, and this does it very, very well.
Alien Covenant, it is new at cinemas this weekend, and Ridley Scott, I think, has said that if this does well, then there are more and more to come. On to something a little bit different, a political thriller called Miss Sloane. What can you tell me about this?
It's set in Washington, D.C., and Elizabeth Sloane is one of the most sought-after lobbyists. There is no case she won't take, and when it comes to a bill to pass a regulation on gun control, she puts everything into winning the case. However, she soon discovers that this might not be one political power fight that is beyond her capabilities. From as little as 5 minutes into Miss Sloane, it feels as if you're watching an Aaron Sorkin film. And the funny thing is, it's Jonathan Pereira, a first-time writer who has clearly digested all of Aaron Sorkin's work, watched every single episode of House of Cards, and it struggles because of it. The story gets its own self in knots because there's too many strands shooting off all over the place. And fortunately, the film is rescued from being pretty average by a captivating performance by Jessica Chastain as Elizabeth Sloane. She's a woman who is obsessed about winning, and she will do whatever it takes to ensure that. To see Sloane go toe-to-toe with the gun lobbyist is the best part of the film. However, soon her confident attitude spills over into ugly aggression, and I think that's when the director possibly should have reeled her in a bit, but he didn't. And you start to lose empathy with Sloane because of a overly demanding attitude. And I think at times it tries to be a straighter female version of the Wolf of Wall Street, and that doesn't sit particularly well. I think it should have kept on track without taking the character of Sloane too far. I mean, okay, the film is saying that Sloane does take it too far, and that causes problems for everyone, but that change could have been handled better. As courtroom dramas go, it's pretty standard stuff. And if it wasn't for an outstanding performance by Chastain, then this would be much of a lesser film.
Miss Sloane, new at cinemas this weekend. Right, DVD pick for the week. You have picked out a film that has been on the kids' club at the cinema, I've noticed, for the last few months. And thus far, I've managed to avoid it. I've seen the trailer, and I have to say, it didn't really grab me or my kids. Did I make the right choice, Mark, when it came to monster trucks?
Well, the thing with this is, for people our age, Joff, people who grew up in the 80s watching these classic kids' adventures like The Goonies and E.T. and Gremlins and Flight of the Navigator and Labyrinth, you can possibly look at this trailer and think, actually, this is probably more for me than the kids, because that's what it does look a little bit like. The story is about a high schooler, Trip, who builds a monster truck to get out of the small town he lives in when an accident at a nearby oil drilling plant releases a strange creature with a taste for speed. Trip finds that this slimy monster might just be his ticket out of there. It is fair to say that Monster Trucks does a good job of taking you back to that 1980s era when the movies weren't the best, but they were very entertaining. The whole premise of Monster Trucks is quite hokey, to be honest. But it doesn't matter, because you want to see the squishy monsters. Eventually, when they are shown, they are a little bit scary, but you do warm to them, and they do have a slightly sarcastic side to them as well. They like to guzzle oil and speed along freeways and vast fields as well. And that's when the film's at its best. The problem with the film is that all the high schoolers are so old, they look like they're in their late 20s. And I get that they need to be a certain age to be able to drive, but come on, they look like they passed their test about 10 years ago. Trip, as a character, is not the nicest person either. It's very difficult to warm to him at any point because he just seems to moan about everything. Also, there's a forced romance subplot that is horribly awkward. Overall, this kids' monster buddy movie is fun. It does have a lot of heart. I will give it that. Just try to look past the far too old teenagers and instead focus on the fun monsters and the driving.
Or just stick on Herbie instead.
Oh, love Herbie. Yes, that's true.
Monster Trucks, it is new on DVD this week. I see that A Monster Calls, it's like Monster Week this week, A Monster Calls is also out this week. Didn't you quite like this last year?
Do you know what? We reviewed this film earlier this year and I just loved it. I was bowled over by how weepy it is and how perfectly formed it is to talk to kids about death and about all that is associated with it. I love the film. I'm pleased we're not reviewing it, to be honest, because I might start tearing up. If you haven't seen it, do see it. It's a wonderful, wonderful film.
You sound totes emotion just talking about it now. Anything we should be looking out for the next couple of weeks?
Next week, we've got Guy Ritchie doing his own version of the King Arthur mythology. And we're also reviewing on DVD and Blu-ray my favourite film of the year so far. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Guy Ritchie, he's not the one from EastEnders, is he? That's Shane Ritchie. Easy mistake to make. Guy Ritchie, wasn't he Madonna's husband? Or still is? Or
he was, yeah, no, he was Madonna's husband. You've got to remember, he did the Sherlock Holmes films with Robert Downey Jr. He also did Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. He's done a lot of Cockney gangster films, basically.
Well, we've got that to look forward to next week on the Thursday Movie Review. Mark Searby, thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
I will do, you too.
And we'll do more at the same time next Thursday.